From the Mutual Newsroom in New York, Tokyo Radio says acceptance of Potsdam Proclamation coming soon. I repeat, Tokyo Radio says acceptance of Potsdam Proclamation coming soon. One moment, please. Please, I repeat this bulletin. Tokyo Radio says acceptance of Potsdam Proclamation coming soon. A bulletin from San Francisco. Tokyo Radio said today that an imperial message accepting the Potsdam Proclamation would be forthcoming soon. Repeating that bulletin from San Francisco, Tokyo Radio said today that an imperial message accepting the Potsdam Proclamation would be forthcoming soon. For the news, listen to your Mutual station. From the Mutual Newsroom in New York, San Francisco, the International News Service, FCC quotes Domei saying Japan accepts allied terms. Repeating this bulletin, dated San Francisco, the Federal Communication Commission quotes Domei saying Japan accepts allied terms. This is not official. I repeat, this is not official. This is from the Tokyo Radio. Just one moment, please. We're standing by in the Mutual Newsroom. Just one moment, please. From the OWI, the Japanese government has accepted the Allied surrender formula embodied in the note dispatched to Tokyo by the United States. The Tokyo Domei Agency said today in a wireless dispatch recorded by the Federal Communications Commission. We have another bulletin here. Japan surrenders. Japan surrenders. Now repeating the entire bulletin, the Japanese government has accepted the Allied surrender formula embodied in the note dispatched to Tokyo by the United States. The Tokyo Domei Agency said to recorded by the Federal Communications Commission. This is not official. We're awaiting confirmation from Washington. This is not official. For the news, listen to your Mutual station.
Swing bands make him frown. He doesn't get his from Boogie Woogie Licks.
Good morning, everyone. This is Don Elder speaking from atop the marquee of the United Artists Theater here in the heart of Chicago's Loop District. The streets are pretty well filled with people by now, but as yet we've seen very little boisterous noise-making or celebration. When we came down on the loop this morning at about 4:30, the weather had already taken a hand in stopping the crowds from gathering. It was raining buckets, and with the exception of a few civilians and servicemen huddled under theater marquees and in doorways, about the only people down on the streets were policemen. Well, now that situation has changed. It stopped raining and quite a crowd has gathered. Some of them are listening to the news on radio scattered throughout the loop. Quite a few are merely on their way to work. And as could be expected, quite a few school children are also downtown to get a look-see at just what's happening. Since early this morning, we've watched cameramen and newsreel photographers getting a cross-section view of Chicago on this day of days. One rather persistent photographer stood out in the middle of Randolph Street for a very dangerous 3 or 4 minutes snapping pictures of passers-by and Chicagoans wandering the loop just looking for excitement to happen. Very few windows have been broken down here, but some stores are taking no chances anyway. I noticed the old Heidelberg down here a few doors boarded up their windows with big V for victory signs. We talked to a policeman before who told us that up until now, the police have had very little to do in the line of quelling disturbances. He adds, incidentally, that that's all right with him. By the way, it would seem that even Chicago's finest have their troubles. At least when I happened to overhear one of the uniformed policemen talking on a pay telephone a few minutes ago, he was trying to explain frantically to his wife that he was actually down here in the loop on business. From what I couldn't help overhearing, she obviously didn't believe there was anything important enough to get her husband out of bed at about 2 o'clock in the morning. At least nothing in the line of duty. Just recently, all of Chicago's taverns have been ordered closed for a 24-hour period by the police department, while about half of Chicago's restaurants already have closed voluntarily. And before the day is over, most of the Chicagoans who eat out will have a pretty hard time finding a place to get a snack. Department stores still are waiting for the official word before closing, and banks here will remain open until today is declared a legal holiday, if it is. As I speak to you from Chicago's loop this morning, you can probably hear the roar of traffic down below us and perhaps the rumble of a few passing streetcars. Incidentally, a few of those streetcars have windows broken early this morning in the first excitement of Radio Tokyo's announcement. But since then, as I mentioned, there have been very little violence. Newsboys down on the street are making more money today than they've made in a long, long time. One little fellow told us as we bought a paper, "You know what, mister? That fellow there says he has a boy out in the Pacific. Know what else? He gave me a buck for one paper." In general, it seems Chicagoans are taking the whole thing very calmly and coolly. One might almost say with a feeling of skepticism. They aren't going to be caught by another false peace flash. You can be sure of that. We talked to several people on the street before going on the air, and that feeling is just about the same. Just before going on the air here, I was down on the street sampling reaction and the general temper of Chicago's loop. I noticed a T5 standing in front of the theater. Quite obviously, he'd seen plenty of action, for on his sleeve were 5 overseas bars, in other words, 3 years. In addition, he wore 3 campaign stars, and they happened to stand for Makin, Saipan, and Okinawa. When I asked him his name, he said, "Oh, that isn't important. Just say I'm a member of the Fightin' 69th." But I can sure imagine how happy the old gang is out there on Okinawa today. And now this is Don Elder switching you to NBC in Denver.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're monitoring the Columbia Network, and they are in New York City with at their World News Service. But meanwhile, since they are not taking us to London, England, here we go.
The Japanese have accepted our terms fully. That is the word we have just received from the White House in Washington, and I didn't expect to hear a celebration here.
You've heard it, ladies and gentlemen, and we're here in the Time Star newsroom with a traveling microphone. The war is over. The Japanese have surrendered. The victory has been won. It's official from the White House. You just heard Bob Trout. President Harry Truman has announced the end of the war. The Japanese have accepted our conditioned reply to their surrender offer. They will lay down their arms. There it is, the news you've been waiting for. It's over, all over. For some neighbors of yours and mine, the war ended long ago when the messenger arrived with the telegram saying killed in action or died of wounds. Let's have a thought to that tonight. The sounds of the guns have been stilled. This is August the 14th, the day to remember. The word from Washington that President Truman has announced the acceptance of the Japanese surrender terms. This is the day you wondered about on September 1st, 1939, when the voice of Adolf Hitler swept upon the ears of the world to announce the Nazi attack on Poland. This is the day you wondered about on December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor. And then you said, this is it. And whether you'd fancied yourself an isolationist or an internationalist, you knew that that was it. You wondered about your own loved ones back there, December 7th, 41. You wondered whether they would survive it. Well, many of the boys will come marching home, and others will lie beneath the white crosses and stars in far places. Places whose names we'd never heard before that Pearl Harbor day. And so now the war is over. The victory is won. The American people have a new litany of names which have been consecrated by American blood. The blood of boys and men from Cincinnati and Covington, Newport, Lebanon, Ohio, Greenville, Dayton and Connersville, Indiana and Lawrenceburg. A litany which tells of far places and calls up the vision of beach landings in an inferno of fire and steel. We can hear the whistles in downtown Cincinnati. They're breaking loose because this is it. This is it, friends. Now it's all over in the Pacific, over in Europe. It's over, friends, save for the white crosses and the memory of those place names you'd never heard of before this war started. The job has been done in the Western world and on the land and seas of the Orient. And let's not forget it. We're traveling alongside our newswire now. As a matter of fact, if we can get to the window, maybe we don't have to get there. You can hear the bells and the whistles in downtown Cincinnati. I don't know whether they cut in above the news wire ticking, but Mr. Truman made the announcement that it's over at a press conference. He read a statement which said, "I deem this reply a full acceptance of the Potsdam Declaration, which specified the unconditional surrender of Japan. In the reply, there is no qualification." That's the way President Truman said it. Let me see if I can get through a window. You can hear the bells and the whistles out there. Now Cincinnati can really celebrate. The thing is over and Johnny is going to come marching home. Friends, possibly Columbia Broadcasting System has got something that I haven't got down here on my tickers, so we take you to CBS.
This is Columbia's news headquarters in New York. Our last great enemy is defeated. The Second World War is at an end.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Christ Church wishes to announce it will hold special VJ Day services at 8 p.m. tonight and 12:10 tomorrow afternoon. We'll repeat that. Christ Church wishes to announce it will hold special VJ Day services at 8 p.m. tonight and 12:10 tomorrow afternoon.
The town is just getting into the depth of the celebration about now, I believe, and President Truman will later on this evening make a formal declaration of the peace treaty with Japan.
Yeah, it was 6 o'clock and we heard the whistles blow and all sorts of things were seemed to be going on all at one time. And so we decided that that was the end of the war, and it was. So we drove around the block and went over to Fountain Square, and there was tons of paper, I guess not tons, anyhow, a few wastebaskets full of paper being thrown out from the crew tower. It's pretty thrilling, I think.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking to you from the roof of the Time Star building in downtown Cincinnati. Can you hear those whistles? Can you hear those bells? Cincinnati is celebrating. We thought we'd let you hear what the old hometown is doing. Just listen to the noise. Even up here at 8th and Broadway, which is a little off the main drag in Cincinnati, the paper and the confetti is blowing around, and somebody must have tied down the whistle of the train, because one of the most infernal rackets is being brewed over in the middle part of the city, and we can hear it up here at the Time Star just as though it was being made downstairs. For now, that's the story from the Time Star.
I take you to NBC Mobile Unit.
This is the NBC Mobile Unit in the heart, center, and the pulsing focus of a joyous nation on Times Square in New York City. Ben Grauer reporting as I stand, literally stand, tiptoes, sticking my head outside the silver gray terra top of the NBC Mobile Unit and look uptown over a foaming, seething, writhing mass of faces lifted jointly and buoyantly and gloriously happy at the final conclusion of a desperate war which has seen its closing days in a desperate day or three or four of anxiety, turmoil, anticipation, doubt, fear, and being cast down. Are these people happy? That's the only word to express it. Are you happy? And all I need to do is turn my NBC microphone down over these folks here and to see this wave of smiles, confetti, streamers, banners, bells, jingles, flags, horns, and a joyous, buoyant, glorious look on everybody's face. If I can calm down for just a minute, I'd like to take this scene apart to see that here we have a combination of every type and person in the country represented by these people here. I can see by the looks on the faces that there's a person from out of town, from the West Coast, from Kansas, from Miami, from Oakland, California. There's a serviceman from the... Oh, they won't let me talk. The reason for that is that a daring Marine has just leaped upon a representation of the picture of the flag being planted on the peak of Mount Suribachi in Iwo Jima and has raised a little but gloriously defiant American flag. And in victory, this little piece of bunting is going up to the top of the Iwo Jima. And now here's a sailor on the other side of this lamppost, which says Times Square Broadway, and he has been kissed both by the grape and by a beautiful girl, because he climbed up that lamppost about 25, 30 feet high. Now he's in his own little crow's nest here in the heart of Manhattan, and he's waving a happy and joyous hello to everyone below him. He's got a rose stuck in his little pocket over his left breast, just above his campaign ribbon, and he's waving his hat happily in the air. Up above, I see nothing but a sea, a rolling mass of faces, conspicuously marked by the white headgear of Navy boys. And down right here close to us, a quick glance at the massing, milling crowd would indicate that there's approximately 20% of servicemen. I think that's a fair estimate. They have been drawn to this, the focus and heart of New York City, and which expresses at this moment the pent-up jubilation and joy and relief after 4 years of war. Oh, he's made it! The sailor boy got to the very top of the lamppost and then reached the most precarious peak, and he's sitting right now on a representation of the steel of the city of New York. And he doesn't care if anybody knows it. Joy, glamour, beauty, excitement, and overall an expression of tremendous relief. I see also mixed in the crowd those who are silent, mostly older people, many of them perhaps people who will carry the memory of a loved one who hasn't returned, whose sacrifice is continuous. I see many people who are sitting, standing mouth agape. The thing is so overwhelming that they can't express it in their own jubilation and just much others. There's a little gray-haired lady with a happy smile, somewhat toothless, but all over her face, and I see that she's got a service button with two stars on it. Our congratulations and joy to you, madam. And here's a little girl, a bobby soxer, if ever I saw one, and she's kissing a sailor right next to her. The sailor seems to be having the most of it. There's a girl with brimming black eyes, and she is smiling and kissing a soldier. The army has taken over for a moment here. And now the policeman, Mayor LaGuardia's representatives here, in a very kindly and understanding and sympathetic way, are trying to keep the crowd back who are pressing around this lamppost. And now the Marine is cast. A Marine's going up to challenge the Navy man up there. This, and ladies and gentlemen, is NBC's description from Times Square of a part of the VJ celebration in New York City. Ben Grau speaking and returning to the NBC newsroom in New York.